morning. Welcome to this week's edition of the Fast Five. It's April 20th, 2018, one of my favorite days of the year. It's been one hell of a busy week for us here at OmniTalk. Ann and I were out in Atlanta this week, and boy, oh boy, there were a ton of news stories to get to. So we're excited to get to the breaking news of the week. The biggest news story probably was Starbucks, and quite frankly, I'm a better writer than I am a speaker, so if you're interested in checking out our thoughts there, please go to the written version of the Fast Five that's out on OmniTalk right now. I think I encapsulate my feelings there much better than I could now. So without further ado, we'd love to get to the headlines. And the headlines this week start with Brandless. All right, Brandless. Retail Dive named Brandless one of the most innovative companies for 2017. And when I saw that, I got to tell you, I'm not sure what to make of them. I think it's an exciting business, and it could be a great business. But there are a few things I need to nail down first before I get on the Brandless bandwagon. Number one, first, let's get this out of the way. Brandless, you are a brand. Number two, this brand tax. Brandless claims that they have a that CPGs charge a brand tax for all these unnecessary activities that they do on a given base on a given day, and they want to give that tax, so to speak, back to the consumer. But here's the thing: you go on their webpage, it's hard to understand what that tax is. And it also reminds me of something that I learned back in business school from one of my professors. And he said, you can take a node out of your network, but the activities of that node still need to be accomplished. And if you remember back to e-commerce back in the days, we thought, oh, look, we can remove the delivery to stores and it's going to have all these efficiencies and yada, yada, yada. And look what happened. It didn't. Those activities still need to be done in some way, shape, or form. And so it wonders me how, or it makes me wonder, not wonders me, but makes me wonder, how Brandless is going to pay all this off in the end. It's fine now when people aren't super concerned about profitability in the short term, but in the long run, it could come back to get you. So I want to understand that better. And then number three, they're starting to go into stores. All right, they announced today they're going to have a pop-up in LA, and they're not going to sell products. They're going to sell experiences. They're going to have people come and talk about the brand. And that made me think, and it honestly, it kept me up all night. It made me start to think, is this really just another version of an infomercial? And possibly a more inefficient version of an infomercial. If you think about it, infomercials existed because people didn't have a way to get distribution for their products. But they had great products, and they were great businesses. So Ron, Popeil, and others made tons of money doing them. Well, this is kind of the same idea. You've got an e-commerce portal now for lots of different players, not just Brandless. You get your products up on there, you start creating these pop-up shops, and you start talking to them throughout all the country. Yeah, it might work, and it's expensive. But is that better than an infomercial? Is it better than, say, live streaming your media a la HQ in their app? I think these are things to think about. Going into stores, pop-ups, all the fervor around that, yeah, you can see why it's happening with all the irrational money that happens from celebrity investors, or even the irrational money that still happens from VCs that say, just get your product out there, it doesn't matter what the cost, doesn't matter what the profitability is. I think we're going to learn more about this over time, and we're going to stay close on this. All right, number two, Home Depot. Great article coming out of Recode from Jason Del Rey. As usual, Home Depot is going to hire 1,000 more workers for their digital activities. Got the chance to listen to Home Depot this week at Home Delivery World in Atlanta, and I was blown away. I mean, they just have an incredible business. They want to be the fastest, most efficient deliverer of home improvement products, and I think they've got a leg up on Amazon. I mean, for me, I'll never forget this moment. I was driving down the street and I saw this huge flatbed truck of lumber and concrete. And I said to myself, there's no way Amazon can do that. And there's no way Amazon can also touch their incredibly strong network of contractors who are doing all the building and the home remodeling. So kudos to Home Depot for all their work and continuing to invest to stay out in front of Amazon on something that truly is a competitive advantage. And when I look at that truck, big truck, those long pieces of wood, Sorry. Okay, story number three, Walmart. Walmart announced that they're redesigning their website this week. Now, I'm going to start classifying Walmart stories, I think, as we go forward, as something from the desk of Mark Laurie or something from anyone else at Walmart. Recently, for the last few weeks, I've been pretty excited about the stories coming out from everyone else at Walmart, but this week's story came out from Mark Laurie, so you're not surprised that I'm skeptical. And here's why. You read their press release. It talks about three things. It talks about personalization. Yeah, every freaking website in the world does personalization, so no big deal there. It talks about the beauty of the website design, which I'll get to in a second. And it talks about home specialization. It talks about curating different designs and aesthetics within home. Well, e-commerce guy with a strong home background, I can tell you the latter, everyone does that. So again, no big deal. You're not going to see a lot of sales from that. Secondly, this beauty idea. This one's really concerning because I got to tell you, when I started in e-commerce, the first thing I thought when I looked at everyone's webpage was, man, all these should look more beautiful. But I didn't know what the hell I was talking about. As I got my feet wet in e-commerce, what I learned is what really matters is item data quality, findability. Can people navigate through your site quickly and easily? It's a very common thing for people that aren't familiar with e-commerce to think that beauty matters. And so what worries me is that actually this could be a move and a press release that's as much for the internal population at Walmart as it is about the external community. And let's not forget that redesigning and replatforming an entire website is hard to test, and it could be difficult. And so if it doesn't work well, that might not bode well for sales. Oh, and by the way, did anyone also see this week that Jets traffic, were down 60% in the month of March? Sorry, I think that canary almost hit me in the head. All right, number four, the RealReal, positive note. I love the RealReal. They announced this week they're trying to seek funding of about another $100 million for their business model. I love their business model. It's the right blend of human, physical, and digital interactions. For those of you that aren't familiar, the RealReal specializes in luxury consignment goods, and it's also hard to replicate by Walmart. They have armies and legions of people that go out to people's homes and evaluate the quality of their luxury products for resale. In addition, every single SKU that they sell is unique. So it's a different business model entirely than traditional retail and what Amazon can do. So I expect to hear quite a bit more from them in the future, and kudos to them for continuing to do so well. All right, lastly, let's close it up. This is probably my favorite story of the week. Wayfair has announced what they're calling Way Day on April 25th, coming up very soon, where they're going to have a big blowout sale. Now, here's the thing. This might work. I'm sure they're going to get more traffic on that day because it's just different. But at the end of the day, it's a copycat strategy. It's the same as Amazon Prime Day. But most importantly, what worries me, Wayfair, you're competing on price again. You've already had concerns about the cost of your customer acquisition relative to your retention. How does this help? You're just competing on price even more. Can't you come up with something original? Can't you come up with something different? I don't know. Here's a couple ideas. Why don't you come up with a brand logo that doesn't look like the aftermath of sexual congress between Barney the dinosaur and the Easter bunny? Oh, and maybe here's another idea. Why don't you open stores? I hear that's all the rage in retail right now. All right, that finishes us up for the week. I want to say a couple thank yous. Thank you to Sarah Kay for always sticking with us. And thank you especially to Barry from Coke, who stopped Ann and I on the street this week out in Atlanta to say how much he enjoys OmniTalk. Never in my wildest dreams did I think somebody would be stopping us on the street. So thank you to all of you that support us each week. Also, next week, I'll be at the Relevant Health Roundtable on Tuesday here in Minneapolis, talking about the potential impact of Amazon on the healthcare industry. And as always, of course, be careful out there.